The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We're making our way through the Gospel of Mark. We have more episodes ahead of us. If you recall, last week, Jesus healed Jairus' daughter, brought his daughter back from the dead, back to life. And then there was the woman that had suffered from hemorrhaging for 12 years who was healed on the way to Jairus' house, healed by simply believing and touching the garment of Jesus, the hem, you could say. And I said something last week that I want to use as a way to tee up today's gospel lesson, and that is that disruption, as painful as it is sometimes in life, can also be a creative moment, a moment to assess, a moment to step back and think, okay, what needs to take place here? What needs to happen? Disruption is what is at the background of many of the innovations we enjoy today. Folks who finally said, this is untenable. We need something to cool down the space. Someone decided to go from fans to creating and inventing air conditioning. It's a disruptive moment. I imagine those who had set themselves at ensuring that their fans were stocked up and had enough, because folks were going to still keep coming back for fans, suffered some form of disruption. This creative moment kind of reset things. It's like many of us may no longer have to go in for a check-in. Why? Because our watch can give us a sense of our heart rate, our sense, a health check. So many disruptive moments and innovations have led to really creative spaces, created spaces that many of us could never imagine. I remember as a little boy watching Johnny Quest. I don't even remember Johnny Quest. And I remember in Johnny Quest, it was the first time I ever saw a cell phone. That was way back in the day. You know, they showed it on, I can't remember the name of the network that always showed shows and cartoons from the 50s and 60s. And I remember the cell phone they used, and I thought, wow, look at that. You know, that floating cars, we're not there yet, but we certainly have cell phones. Disruption leads to some form of creativity. And last week we saw that the disruption that is the gospel, that is Jesus walking into our lives and leading us out on the mission of God, and invite us to be creative, to watch what Jesus is doing, but also calling us to join in this disruption in the creativity. Today, Jesus goes home, came to his hometown. The disruption has been happening almost everywhere. Sea of Galilee, on the shore, on the waves, the ocean. The disciples are growing. The disciples are learning what it means to follow Jesus and what this kingdom he came to preach, what it actually means. I think by this point, I hope they've given up the idea that it actually means having a throne somewhere and a concrete building that is called the kingdom of God. I think they're realizing that the kingdom of God is the presence of Jesus in their midst, inviting them to live by the will and way of a God who is love, a God who is justice, a God who is aware of the many ways in which not only religion but society alienates us from who we truly are, and that's why Jesus goes about reminding God's people, you're a daughter of Abraham. You're a son of Abraham, and never forget your identity. The kingdom establishes once again who we truly are in the eyes of God. Well, he goes home, and his disciples followed him. And like he typically did, he goes to the synagogue and begins to teach. And he's teaching, and this, of course, left people astounded. Astounded at his teaching. Where did this man get all of this? What is this wisdom that's been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? There's a sense in which we've heard what you did for Jairus, and we've heard about this, that, and the other, but now it's come home. It's here. It's near. Because homecoming is always, I think, or can be, a disruptive event. Homecoming can be, I don't know if you can recall going away, whether it was to school, to college, or wherever, or to follow friends, to follow your dreams, and you come back to your hometown and you're like, oh yeah, okay. And everyone expects the same, that you're still the same person, right? What is the one phrase that everyone receives when they leave? Don't forget who you are and where you came from. This is the experience that Jesus is having here. He's come home. Folks are astounded, amazed. Wow, this is great. Look at the amazing things that are being done by his hands. And this is code word for, because the following line is, isn't this the carpenter? Shouldn't you be using your hands really for what you were actually trained to do? It's one way to put Jesus in his place. This is the carpenter. Wait a minute. Before he gets to you, just remember that you're a carpenter, and the reality is, in ancient Near Eastern culture, what are you doing walking around? You should be at home supporting your family. You should be putting your hands to work in the shop, to learn, continue to do the woodworking, to supply and care for who? Your brothers, your sister, your mother. So there's always this sense in which going home is, you realize that the furniture still arranged the way you left it. Jesus walks into that space, announcing and demonstrating the kingdom of God. And the word that's used here is they took offense at him. This word is important in this text. It's the word skandalanton, which is where we get the word scandal. And they were scandalized by Jesus. Now, the root word for the word scandal is, it describes the trigger on a trap. It's the trigger. The word really means trigger. And so in some sense, you could say that everyone around was triggered by Jesus' presence. And, you know, you have to remember that maybe about 3 weeks ago, Jesus, when his family came to rescue him and to do an intervention, Jesus said, these folks are not my family. My family is everyone who is following. There's a sense in which there are some hurt feelings here, because going home is always sometimes about, you know, mending fences. Skandalon. They're offended by Jesus. The thing about a trigger is that there is a cause and there's an effect. They are living in the effect of a cause. And the cause, some commentators believe, is the fact that Jesus is on a mission. He's opened the categories of who belongs to the family. Jesus has challenged, really, the values that shaped him. Mind you, the word hometown is key here, because it's just not a geographical location, but it's a space. It is a formation. It is a perspective. It is a version of life to come home. Jesus has been calling into question all of this, not as a way to do away with it, but to call people back to the heart of God, because sometimes we may live close, remember? We can be within the precincts of the temple, yet so far from the heart of God. And I think that that's the problem that's taking place here. He's done these amazing, feats of power, and people are scandalized and triggered by it. And I think that that is, in many ways, a mirror. And throughout the Christian church, spiritual writers have looked at this instance of homecoming as part of what it looks like for the spiritual journey that we are on. We're always coming home, and we're always encountering the voices, the expectations, the ideas that Christ in us is challenging. The disruption that is pushing us towards creativity and to being part of what God is doing will always come up against those expectations. So growth in Christ is to open yourself up. It's not to run away from home. Jesus comes home. My sense is, I'd like a conjecture that Jesus knows he's got immense offenses. He doesn't shy away from coming home. His family is there. He knows what that means. And I think that that is an aspect that we need to think about in light of the way the Christian church has looked. This is, we come back to those spaces where we're always having to grapple in order to grow, call into question in order to discover something new, open our hearts to what God is up to in familiar places. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. I just recently moved and decided to get a whole new set of, a couch and a love seat. And so the other morning I woke up and forgot that I'm not in my old place, not with my old furniture, so I stubbed my toe. You might have ever done that? Right? Because the furniture's rearranged. I think that sometimes that's what happens as we come back into those familiar spaces and to come into those spaces, to be aware that when Jesus is in the space, the furniture gets rearranged in a way that invites us to discover the depth and beauty of a space. But we will stub our toes and we will stumble, but the stumbling and the stubbing of our toes is the growth, the expansion of our heart. I don't know about you. I love my country. I love this country. But there are days where it just doesn't feel like home. I don't know about you. I love this place. We just celebrated 4th of July. The men of this church put on an amazing, amazing event. But in the midst of that event, I recognize that we're fractured. We're in pain. That we're in a home. It feels like someone rearranged the furniture or someone just broke in, the windows are broke. It's one of those things. And I believe that as a Christian, I'm being called to come back into this space as someone who proclaims the kingdom of grace and justice and love and truth. Jesus came back and this scandalized everyone. Because as we enter into really a season in our national life, I think it'll be important for us to stand for truth, to stand for the way of Jesus, to stand for justice, to come back and not be deterred or afraid, but to be present. and to recognize that our faith in the way of Christ opens the door and the window for fresh air to come in. Jesus found disbelief, and that disbelief limited the work of God in that space. Now, God has no limitations, but our scripture reminds us. And he could not do a deed of power there except to lay his hands on a few people. He was amazed at their unbelief. And so what do we do in times like this? We gather as the people of God to continue to worship, to continue to invite the Spirit through our prayer to shape our hearts so that we can do one thing well, and that is stay the course in the midst of disruption. Homecoming can also be a disruption that calls us to creative living. It may mean finding out what is going on around you so that you can be part of a voice raising consciousness around those who have very little in our society. In the midst of abundance, those who have nothing. It may mean stepping into that space as an advocate, as someone who speaks the truth of God in those spaces for the sake of the neighbor. So that the intensity of our faith ushers in a response that meets the needs of people. There were many who needed healing. Jesus comes home. And then Jesus does something. He sends his disciples off. My sense is this. All right, you all go out. I got some business to take care of with my family. I have to take care of something here. And he sends out his disciples. And there, I had a question of why they paired this in the lectionary. Because Jesus comes home, but he sends out his disciples into the world as guests. He sends them out as guests. There's this sense of, I'm here, I'm with my family. I'm sure probably Mary said, you really think we have enough to feed these 12 people that you're bringing here? No. So Jesus sends them out on the mission of God to be guests. How do we go into the world when we abide with Jesus in the presence of God's grace, in this home of grace and peace? When we're sent out into the world, we go as guests. It's a very vulnerable position to be in. And for us, and I say for myself as well as someone raised in this culture of self-sufficiency, in a culture where, no, we are in control, we are the individuals who need to have everything. Are you kidding me? Go with just a staff, no money in the belt? What is Jesus calling us to? Jesus is calling us to an utter dependency on God. I don't know if you caught that in the psalm. The sense in that these times, in going out into the world to be the presence of grace of God, we're called to go as guests. Don't take two tunics, Jesus says. Don't take bread. Step into those spaces where you will be challenged to trust God to provide, challenged by being vulnerable enough to depend on the neighbor. That's hard. What does that look like for us? I don't know what it looks like for you. I don't know what you depend on. I don't know what anchors your sense of space and place in society today. I don't know what scares you if you did not have that particular thing that scares you. It brings fear into your heart. That's maybe a good way to assess, what is it that brings fear into my life that I now depend on or have been depending on that keeps me from actually giving myself up to God and saying, okay, God, here I am, send me. Jesus sends out his disciples and says, I'm sending you with my power to heal and my power to call people to turn to God. It's very simple. But I need you to practice a vulnerability that reflects that you don't depend on anything else but my grace and on my love. I'm sending you out. And I would say that that is, I think, in this season of our life, maybe the challenge for the church, not to show up as the experts, but as the companions, to show up with folks with a sense of vulnerability. And Jesus says, don't beat people over the head. If they don't want to hear, they don't want the presence and the grace that you reflect, don't judge. Just walk away. But be present. Be present and recognize that the God who has called you to be the church of Jesus Christ today is the one who will give you the grace and strength and the healing power to walk into those spaces where healing is needed, where light is needed. Why? Because like I said last week, that the healing narratives are not so much about healing individuals as much as healing the disciples for the sake of the kingdom of God. And for the sake of being healers who recognize their need for healing, here too Jesus is reminding the disciples, it's about learning to trust the God who will care and ensure that everything you need, you truly need to live the abundant life, God will give. God will provide. It sounds silly, this gospel message these days. But I think that's what it takes to live out in a way that is so countercultural, so that at the core of our identity is the freedom to be what God has called us to be. Sent into the world with vulnerability. Sent into the world with this disruptive power of vulnerability, of recognizing that we too are also in need of this grace that God so graciously lavishes on anyone. So Jesus goes home. We go home. Jesus sends out, Jesus sends us. Jesus is not anxious about, well, I need to be the one preaching, I need to be the one out there. Jesus is open and says, you all are my hands and feet, and you'll go endowed with the power to heal. So wherever you step, wherever you go, saints of all saints, recognize that is the grace and power flowing in and through you, and that is the call and the grace that comes with total dependence on God and practicing the vulnerability that promises to disrupt. Amen.